We are on commandment number 10. Commandment number 10. And Pastor Nathan and I agreed, now that we're almost to the end of the series, that probably would have been better to maybe take 2 weeks per commandment. But we're already at the end now, so we'll just see how long the Lord leads in this particular one. We might break it up, we might not. And then there are a couple of other lessons regarding the series that we're going to be using as well before we get into a new series of messages here in the beginning of our 10 a.m. service. So Exodus 20, verse number 17, we find commandment 10. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And the theme for the lesson this morning is keeping contentment. Keeping contentment. Heavenly Father, once again, we yield this teaching time to you. Please fill me with your Spirit. Empty me of myself, speaker, listener, all of us, Father, that you would receive the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we think about these 10 commandments, keep that in mind. They are not 10 suggestions, whether you or I want to believe them or follow them or not. They are commandments. There are things that we need to be abiding by. And as we consider each and every one of these, it doesn't matter which one we choose, the battleground for each and every one of them is your heart. The battleground is my heart. If I'm going to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to be a godly man, and you're going to be a godly man or young lady or lady or whoever, whatever, it's going to start in the heart. So if I'm going to be content, because that's the opposite, really, of coveting. What we want to do is we want to be content instead of coveting. But if I'm going to be that way in 2020, it's going to be because I have a heart for what God wants. I have a heart for what God has for me. I want to follow God's will for my life. And if that's the case, then we will have a lot better success, if you will, at being content. Now, Satan is constantly seeking access to my heart. Now, I'm a firm believer in eternal security. I'm a firm believer that once you get saved by faith, through grace, that you cannot lose your salvation. We believe that over and over again from the Bible. We shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck us out of his hand. We have eternal life, et cetera, et cetera. We could go on and on. We won't do that. But that doesn't mean that Satan is done attacking. That doesn't mean Satan is done trying to have access to your heart and my heart. That doesn't mean Satan just says, oh, well, so-and-so got saved now, so we're just going to leave them alone. No, quite frankly, it could be that Satan says, okay, we've got to add some extra forces now to this individual. They've just got saved. They've just been baptized. We need to attack them even more. They've just decided to start tithing by faith and be obedient to tithing, give to faith, promise, mission. Let's go after them. Let's have a flat tire come their way. Let's do this. I mean, the devil is constantly seeking to access your heart and my heart. You know what? He's not looking for a gaping wide hole into your heart, by the way. He's looking for a place. It could be a small place, you know. You've heard that statement, let's just, you know, get our foot in the door. If I could just get my foot in the door at this company, maybe I'll be able to get a job there someday. That's exactly what Satan's wanting to do. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. And I have to tell you today that in many Christians' lives, mine included at times, the devil wants to have a place in my heart in this area of covetousness, of not being content. Now, my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ starts and continues in the heart. I want you to go with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, and we didn't have time to get our clock set up back there, and so we'll just get maybe a signal later on if we need it. We are going to have just a brief break within this time and the next hour, trying to keep everything as close to what we were doing as possible. But we will have a brief break because it's a little bit different being that it's live stream only. Thank you for that. And anyway, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. All right. And let's just look at a couple of verses here. The Bible says in verse number 3, 1 Peter 3:3, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. Notice this statement. But let it be the hidden man of the what? Of the heart. You know, you could look at me today and you can see a tie and a shirt and suit and all that jazz, and you can see all that, and that's great. But what you can't see, but what God can see, is the hidden man of the heart. Now, I can't see that of you either. Now, praise God, the outward does reveal things, though. We're going to get into that here. So let's quickly keep moving along here. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So the Apostle Peter here places great emphasis on the heart. Now, God sees your heart today. God sees my heart. Not one time has there ever been where God has not seen my heart. That means on this Lord's Day, the 22nd of November, if you are having a problem breaking the 10th commandment, God knows about it. God knows about it. Doesn't matter if it's the 10th or the 1st, God knows about it. The point is, God sees the hidden man of the heart. He sees right past the peripheral that we can build up for our fellow man to look at and not really see what's happening on the inside. That's why the inside is so vital that we keep it right. Now, the goal of every born-again believer cannot be simply outward conformity. Understand that? It cannot be only outward conformity, meaning that I on the outside, I'm obeying everything, I'm doing everything, simply because I'm told. Now, again, don't get me wrong. We do want to obey because we're told. Okay, kids, when mom and dad tell you to do something, you want to obey, and you want to obey with the right spirit. But the point is that if it's simply outward conformity and the inside isn't what it needs to be, the outward conformity will only last for a period of time, and eventually it will stop. So the focus as a Christian is not only on the outward conformity. First and foremost, it's inwardly having a heart for God. And when I have a heart that is tuned in to what God has for me, I will not want something that He does not want for me to have. Think of that now. That is what it means to be content. I only want what God wants for me to have. A sold-out heart for God will lead to a change on the outside, though, as well. I'm sold out for God. It will not only be on the inside, it will be on the outside. So the 10th commandment is about the sin of covetousness. I think we've mentioned that. What we will emphasize, though, in this lesson is the cure for covetousness. The cure for covetousness is contentment. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12 and verse number 15, maybe you want to turn over there. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 15. And we see here the gospel according to Luke. The doctor, there was a young man at the church in Castlegar. His name was Luke. He was a young man, probably about, 7 years old. And so I just called him Dr. Luke every time when I saw him. And that's what Luke was, a doctor. But look what it says in Luke chapter number 12 and verse number 15. And he said unto them, Jesus speaking here, take heed, take heed, take heed. Well, when Jesus says take heed, we need to take heed. Beware of covetousness. What is covetousness? It's just that. It's me wanting what God does not want me to have. Nothing wrong with having things, but if it's not what God wants me to have, then I'm covetous about it, all right? For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Does having more make us feel important? That's a problem. Okay? By the way, it's not about feeling important. It's not about feeling successful. The Bible makes it clear what is successful. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, right? You remember that verse? That's where we find our success, in the Word of God, and our application to the Word of God. Not because we've accumulated so much in this world where, I mean, you don't take anything with you. You know, lately I've had the opportunity just to go over and prepare some things at Brother Gord's apartment. We'll be over there tomorrow, God willing, working through that. You know, Brother Gord, he wasn't a perfect man, but you know what? He didn't have a lot in his house. It was basic. I mean, he just started getting rid of things. I don't need this. I don't need this. I don't need this. I don't need this. And just a very simple way of living our lives. And I think we can all learn from that. Does having more make us feel important? This is false significance, I wrote down. This is false significance. No, my significance is not based on things, but on the truth. Here, listen to this. But based on the truth that you and I, we have everything we need in Christ Jesus. Everything. My significance is not in my clothes, how expensive they are, my shoes, and how expensive they are, or whatever, or this or that, or my home or my car, or anything. No, my significance is in Christ. And by the way, that's the only thing that never changes. Think about it. Your significance in Christ never changes. We're online only. That doesn't change your significance in Christ. You know, we have this or we have that. That doesn't change your significance in Christ. And so don't seek for those things that are of this world to find significance. That leads to covetousness. So, let's get into the outline. Number one, we have the concept of contentment. I want you to go with me, please, in your Bible to Psalm 57. The concept of contentment. So, if you are content, and if I am content, there are going to be, I'm going to give you four of them, and you know, again, we may need a couple of weeks on this lesson. That's fine. We're not going to rush through it. I'm going to give you some indicators, all right? So the concept of contentment, if I am content, these are going to be some things in my life. So if we get to one of these, Psalm 57, so if we get to one of these and you think, boy, that's not in my life, well, we need to ask the Lord to help us in this area. It doesn't mean that you're running around buying everything that you don't need. That's not what I'm saying. But it means that, remember, the devil's only looking for a what? A place. He's not looking for a wide open door. Now, if you give him one, he'll run right through it. But he's looking for just one little crack in the armor, so to speak, all right? And so think of these and meditate on these verses. Write them down if you have more than the opportunity to write things down in the setting that you're in right now. And let's think about it. So Psalm 57, verse 7. My heart is, what's the next word? Fixed. Number one, if I am content, the first indicator will be my heart is settled. It's settled. So the psalmist said, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Right now, 2020, wild ride it's been. But we can be men and women with a fixed heart. We can be men and women with a settled heart. That shows that we're not covetous. That shows that we're content. My heart is settled. My heart is settled in the Lord. The discontented individual is never satisfied and always unsettled. Think about what unsettles you. Now, I would have to raise my hand and say that there have been some unsettling times in my life. Not just in 2020, by the way. That's kind of all we can think about right now. But there are some unsettling times in my life. I can think back to over a decade ago when my doctor said, you have cancer. That can be an unsettling time, right? Some of you have heard that before. Some of your family members have heard that before. That can be an unsettled time. But you know what? No, I should be settled on the fact. I should be fixed on the fact that God is good. And no matter what God allows into my life, it's for my good and it's for His glory. So, never satisfied, always unsettled. They will do whatever it takes to get what they want. This is the unsettled, the discontented one. Whatever it takes to get what they want. And when they have it, guess what happens? They will soon be discontented with what they have. And guess what happens? The cycle starts all over again. I can't remember who it was, but someone asked a very wealthy man one day, how much money is enough? Maybe you remember hearing someone refer to this quote. I cannot remember who it was. I should have looked it up, but it's okay. That's not in my notes, but the Lord wanted me to give it to you. And you know what he said? Just one more dollar or something like that. Just one more dollar. What's that saying? That's saying there's never enough. There's never enough. You know, just one more coffee mug on the wall, Pastor Turner, right? I guess I need to be content with my Starbucks collection, right? Preaching to the choir right now. Anyway, what I'm saying is that we could say, you know what? Just one more. Just one more. And if we have that mentality, then we're not content because it can't be just one more. Whatever God has for me is enough. When my desire for someone or something takes over my life, then I am guilty of breaking this 10th commandment. Did you catch that again? when my desire for someone or something takes over my life. Now, someone, I'm not obviously not referring to God. I'm referring to, physically speaking, then I'm breaking the Ten Commandments. So, is your heart settled? You say yes. At times it is, at times it's not. Is your heart fixed? Is it settled? That's one indicator of contentment. Number two, let's go back to our let's go back in our Bibles to Paul's epistle to the church at Colossae in Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. This, I guess we could have called this the contentment test. All right, the contentment test. And we have four of them, so that would mean A, B, C, or D, or F, right? Hopefully you're going to pass the contentment test today, all right? If not, that's okay. Let's work on it, and let's bring that grade up this week. Colossians chapter 3. So number one, we said it is a heart that is settled. This is an indicator of contentment in my life. Then number three, or Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, here it is, seek those things, bless you, which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So, our heart is settled, number one. Number two, our focus is upward. Our focus is upward. A heavenward perspective is one that brings peace in times of trouble and in times of great trial. Think of it now. Because the focus is not on the trial or the trouble, Paul said, if ye then be risen with Christ. Hey, are you saved today? Are you risen with Christ? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? If ye have been saved, that's really what that's saying. If ye then be risen with Christ, then you don't want to seek the things of this world. You don't want to seek the material things. You don't want to seek the things that are not going to last. You want to set your affection and your sights heavenwardly. Oh, great peace have they which love thy law, the Bible says. Amen? And nothing shall offend them, focusing on that peace that comes. The Bible says there is a peace that God gives us, a peace that passeth all understanding. Do you have that peace today? Are you running around nervous, worried? Hey, I'm not condemning or I'm not judging. We've all worried, okay? Worry is sin. Worry is sin. We've all let circumstances rule and reign in our life. And then our eyes are looking all around us. And Paul says, no, the contented individual sets his affection upward. The contented individual, his focus is always upward. I'm striving for this. I'm not there yet in my life, okay? It's easy in the flesh to let the things that are brewing and moving and all this in our life, it's easy to just start thinking about that all the time. No, Paul said in Philippians 4:8 to think about certain things, all right? Let's look over there quickly. I think the Lord wants us to read that verse. I had it memorized at one point in my life, but now I get them all mixed up, okay? Have you ever been there, you know, especially in these verses that list things? That's just my fault. But notice, let's go ahead and read a few verses here. I think the Lord wants us to, verse 5, all right? Verse 5, Philippians 4:5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Here it is. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what happens? The peace of God, which passeth all understandings, shall keep. You know what that word keep means? It means guard, protect. What do you want guard, and what is it protecting? Your what? Heart and mind. What did we talk about at the very beginning of the lesson that is the key to obeying the Ten Commandments? The heart. My thought life, my mind, my heart, the seat of my emotion, all of those things, that is the key. Here's we find the key. It wasn't even in the notes, but here's the key that we have today to be content. The peace of God is what guards my heart. And so in 2020, right now, stop looking around at the world. Stop looking around at everything that's going on and set your focus once again upward to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to the ruler of all of this. He's got it all in his hand, and that includes you, and that includes me. Be content with being in the hand of God. That's the safest place to be, is it not? I mean, don't worry about a vaccine. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about that. Yes, I said that, and I'm not taking it back. We need to set our sights on heaven. We need to set our sights on the things of the Lord. God is the ruler of this universe. God is allowing things to continue to go the way they're going. And I have confidence in God, don't you? I have confidence. I have faith in God. That's that theme that keeps coming to mind for 2021. Strong faith, giving God the glory. Strong faith. I think that's maybe what's coming. Strong faith, giving God the glory. But here, let's keep reading. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. I think that's why many Christians are struggling, because they're not allowing God's peace to be prevalent in their life. So what happens is their heart and mind are not being guarded. It's just full force onward from the discouragement and depression, and the devil's just attacking. Finally, verse 8, that's what you want to hear the preacher say, right? Finally, in conclusion. Some people preach long conclusions, though, okay? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are, and here it is, true, honest. By the way, here's a news flash. Here's a news flash you can believe. Not everything you hear on the news is true. News flash, okay? The media doesn't tell us everything that is true. They tell us everything they want us to hear. Just remember that, okay? Just remember that. You know what's amazing to me? The flu has been cured. Have you thought about that? Nobody has the flu in 20. Man, I gotta get off these topics, because now we just stick with the Bible, okay? True, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. See, good report. Amen. We need some good reporting right now. Amen. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, notice. Think on these things. There you go. Think on these things. The battle for the mind. So, the heart is settled. Do you have a settled heart? Is it fixed? Number two, my focus is upward. Number three, kind of dealt in this already, but my trust is in God. Go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Oh, when is the premier going to make good on his promise to send everybody money that he talked about before the election? Who cares? I'm not sitting around and waiting on the premier to give us the money that he, give the people of British Columbia money. No, I have someone else in my life that takes care of me way better than the premier of BC. Now, we prayed for the premier today. We prayed for him by name. Mr. Horgan, if you're watching, we're praying for you. We are. We're praying for you. In fact, we prayed today by name, the Prime Minister of this great country that we live in, Mr. Trudeau, Prime Minister Trudeau, if you're listening, we prayed for you today. We prayed for your wife. We prayed for your children. We prayed for Mrs. Horgan as well. We prayed for your families. And we do. We do that regularly. But I'm not sitting around waiting on some money to come in or stimulus to come in from any government when the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the previous verses tell us what all these things are. It talks about our food. It talks about our shelter. It talks about our clothing. It talks about everything that we need. And so if I am a contented individual, then my complete trust is in God. It is in God completely. Now, again, I'm not lifting myself up. I hope you don't think that. I still need to trust God more. I don't trust Him enough. I don't trust Him as I should, all right? This is a promise that you and I can get up every morning and claim every day. What is the promise? When we put God first, when we trust God, guess what? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Here comes the promise. He shall direct thy path. Who do you want directing your path? You or God? I want God directing my path. How does that happen? Complete trust. Complete trust. I get up this morning. It's Sunday. It's the Lord's day. It's your day, God. If God lets me get up tomorrow morning, it's Monday. God, this is your day. Every day is really the Lord's day. But this is I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this. I don't know if it's what you want completely, but I want your will, so redirect my path. What I mean is I have this plan for the day, but I want your plan. And God, you know the needs of Anchor Baptist Church. We're praying for $8,000. Have you been praying for that $8,000? I've been praying for that $8,000. By the way, that's what we need to get caught up. And if God gives it to us, fine. If he doesn't, we'll keep praying. Because he doesn't say ask, ask, and ask. And if you don't get it, stop asking. He says keep asking. And we're asking that according to his will. We have complete trust in God. This is another indicator that I am content. And I would have to say that I need to work on that. You know, I like to be able to see it, don't you? That's the flesh. I like to be able to see it. I like to be able to see it on paper. That's not faith. That's sight. And that's that. Boy, God does wonders when we trust him. So, dad, be the leader in your home. Husband, be the leader in your home. Trust God. Lead your family to do that. You're individual today. Be a man or woman of faith. You're going into work. Be a man of, don't live in fear. Trust God and have that type of attitude. You know, we learned about Daniel the other night, and I can't get past that. Excellent spirit, excellent spirit, excellent spirit. You know what? That's what this world needs in 2020. They don't need Christians living in fear. They need Christians with an excellent spirit. Yes, wearing a mask if you need to. Yes, wearing gloves if you need to. Taking any precaution you need to. All of these things, but what do they need? They need Christians that trust in God. And I want to do a better job of that. We have one more. Look at Luke 18. Luke 18. So number one, a heart that is settled. David said, my heart is fixed. Heart that is settled. My focus is upward. My trust is in God, number three. And then number four, Luke 18, 18. Luke 18, 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Oh, hey, here you go. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not kill. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, now again, Jesus knows the heart. We can tell somebody something and they only know what we're telling him. When Jesus is hearing this young man, he's not just hearing him, he knows the heart that it's coming from. Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, isn't it amazing how, you know, I don't know, these statements kind of intrigue me in the Bible. Jesus heard something, and he looked right into that man's heart and then said what he needed to say that would go right past all of the facade that he set up. All of these things have I done from my youth up. When Jesus heard that, he just bypassed all of that and said, what about this though? Now the man hears Jesus. He was very sorrowful. Why was he sorrowful? For he was, notice the adverb there, very rich. He wasn't just rich. He was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, think of that. You know, read the word of God carefully and slowly. He said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. But it's not impossible. We see that in verse number 27. But the point is this, number four, someone that is content will be their life, number four, their life is completely yielded to God. Completely yielded to God. In other words, this young man said, yeah, hey, That's it. I've been doing that. I have not committed adultery. I have not killed anyone. You've heard people say that. Well, I've not killed anyone, you know. Like that's supposed to be that's the be-all, end-all. You're not a murderer, then you're okay, right? I haven't stolen anything. I haven't lied about anybody. I've honored my dad and mom. Jesus says, but wait a minute. You still have something that isn't yours that you need to give up. You need to be willing to give up. You need to yield it. In this case, it was his substance. In this case, it was his finances. And Jesus said, okay, all right, great. Now, I want you to go sell everything you have and give the money to the poor. And immediately, the man's countenance went from, you know, you can picture it, right? Here's a young man. I mean, his buttons are popping off because he just did everything that Jesus said he needed to do. And it looked pretty good for him. And then Jesus kind of brings him down to size and says, but wait a minute. There's one more thing. You need to sell everything and give it to the poor. And I can just see the air coming out of his balloon, you know, if you will, you know. Because there was something that he didn't want to yield. He wanted it. He wanted to have the control over it. I submit to you today that if you are someone, if I am someone that is contented, then my life is yielded. Can I ask you these two questions? Number one, is there anything today between you and the Savior? Is there anything? Let the Holy Spirit of God go through your heart and reveal to you things or something that is there that needs to be confessed and forsaken. But I've been doing all of these things, just like this man. I've done all of these, but is there something between you and the Savior that you've allowed to come in and violated commandment number one? Because that's a God in your life now. And we were told commandment number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Number two question about this yielded life is this: is God's will enough? Is the will of God for you enough? Now, that's a tough question to answer because we don't really know what the will of God is down the road. But we need to, I've said it a few times, we need to make a decision before we make a decision. I think we did that in our devotional, one of our devotionals this week. We need to make a decision before it's time to make a decision that whatever God brings into my life, it's good. And that's what I want. That's contentment. But you see, when God brings something into my life that I don't like, then I would rather have this or I'd rather have that or that. That's covetousness. Basically, covetousness is saying, I want whatever I want, not what God wants for me. That means God could bring something into your life of great trial and of great difficulty, and as hard as it may be, we're willing to say, God, may your will be done. God may take a family member way too early in life and they die, and that's just not something that we ever want to think about, but if it were to ever happen, we need to be willing to say, okay, God, that was your will. And on it goes. Is God's will enough? What is God's will for Anchor Baptist Church in the days that lie ahead? It is to be faithful and obedient to His Word. That may mean, I don't know what it may mean completely, but we want God's will to be done, don't we not? We want God's will to be done. Do we not? Excuse me. We want God's will to be done. That's a sign. That's an indicator. Maybe that's a better word. That's an indicator that we're content. That God's will is enough. I remember us speaking about that at some point. God is enough, right? God is enough. And he's not planning on dying anytime soon, all right? He always has been. He always will be. Contentment. So concept of contentment, big number one. Four indicators, quickly. A settled heart. A focus that's upward. Complete trust in God. And a life that's yielded. We're going to stop right there. We're going to pick it back up next week and continue on this 10th commandment. And again, I believe the timing of this 10th commandment is exactly what God wanted for us today. God knew when we started this series that we would be meeting live stream today. God knew it. Right? He knows everything. So, are we content? This is God's will for today. Now, contentment doesn't mean we just roll over and play dead. And we just, you know, oh, well, this is just it, you know. Contentment is God's will be done. And that's what it is for today, right here. And we have to be willing to say, praise the Lord. This is God's will for today. We'll just see what happens tomorrow, and onward we go.